good. Morning 640 here on News Radio 92.3. Do not wind me up to talk about taxes, unless you want me to talk a lot about taxes. Eric Gilmore is pinch hitting this week. He's the director of public safety for West Marin, who is out all this week. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, as always. For those who do not know, Director of Public Safety oversees things like Escambia County Fire Rescue, Emergency Medical Service, Emergency Response. Am I forgetting one? I feel like I'm forgetting one. 911 Call Center.
Emergency Management, 911, and Beach Lifeguard. Yes, sir.
And Beach Lifeguards. Very good. Exactly right. So I just figured we'd talk with Eric about some of these things because, you know, they're all always very interesting, the stuff that's going on in these ways. So first question for you is, let's talk about EMS, because that's been the problem child for a long time, you know, just trying to get it all work properly. From my point of view, you correct me if I'm wrong, but from my point of view, the biggest challenge that EMS has had for the longest time is the wait times, having enough staff, enough ambulances, enough opportunity to get patients out of the ambulance and into the hospital and then leave with the ambulance to go pick up somebody else. That's been the challenge. And when I look at the reports, I had thought post-COVID, new hires, more ambulances, we'd really start to see some changes. And unless I'm wrong, I still don't see big difference in the wait times alleviating.
No, you don't. And the reason is because we're still staffing off a 2010 staffing model, where our call load was not as high as it is now. We have an abnormally high call load compared to EMS systems our size. Usually some of the EMS systems our size and to the east of us, they're running, you know, 15,000, 20,000 calls a year. We're running around, you know, 66,000 calls a year. So we have
Is that like Santa Rosa is 15,000 a year?
15,000 a year for Santa Rosa County. Yes, sir. 15,000, 16,000 a year.
And we run 60, and the population of Santa Rosa is a little more than two-thirds. So we're running four times as many for maybe 60% more people?
That's correct.
That's what?
Yes. Well, I mean, when you consider some of the calls that we get, I mean, we get low acuity calls where a layperson, you or I, would probably take a family member to an urgent care or maybe to our primary physician, where people don't, they just think, hey, I'm going to call 911. I'm going to get an ambulance here. And the mindset is if they go in an ambulance to the hospital, that they get priority treatment at the hospital, which means they go straight to the back or they get seen first. And that's not the case. You'll get re-triaged by the medical staff at the hospital. Then you might be put in the waiting room. We've had that multiple times where you get re-triaged and put out in the waiting room. So there's a myth out there that you go by ambulance, you get priority treatment and triage.
Like people are deliberately calling 911 because they think it'll get them to the front of the line at the hospital.
That is correct.
Oh,
and the calls we're getting are sick calls. Okay. I've had a headache for 2 days. I've been vomiting for 2 days. I fell down 3 days ago and now I need to go to the hospital and get checked out. I got hit in the eye by something 2 days ago. These are things that just, not necessarily an ambulance is needed. If you've got a primary care physician, or there's plenty of urgent cares in our county, but people think that they just need to take an ambulance ride. So the
60,000, you know, having four times for 60% more people, that's a problem. Or not even 60%, I think it's a little bit less. Anyway, but, you know, having that much more for not that much more, that's a problem. But then you have things like, you know, the hospital is short-staffed, and so the paramedics have to wait there, you know, hold the wall, you guys call it, I know. Being short on trucks and people because the staffing model is outdated, as you say. But aren't we, I mean, I know the answer, so I'm asking this a little bit facetiously, but at least if people are paying the bill, it wouldn't be such a problem because it's a pay for service, right? But they're not paying their bills, right?
That is correct. Yeah, and you just hit the nail on the head. It is a fee for service, which means EMS is not funded by tax dollars. We don't get anything from general revenue. When you call, when we collect that bill, we collect that, that fee for your service that you asked for, that's how EMS is totally funded in Escambia County. So we have to generate our money to be able to pay our staff, to be able to put equipment on the trucks, to be able to, and which we did, we asked for more staffing this budget cycle. So EMS has to be able to fund those additional EMTs and paramedics to get our staffing levels up. So, EMS has worked very hard it's not, when we took over, we knew it wasn't going to be a quick fix. We all knew this. I mean, it takes a little while to grow the organization, to make sure that we have the right resources out there, and to make sure we can generate money so we can pay for our staff and add additional staff to our staffing levels.
Is it accurate to say that as a population, that the people who are abusing the EMS system for non-emergency calls or for whatever other reason, that those are also the same people who aren't paying their bills? I mean, am I in the right vicinity in understanding this?
You are quasi. I wouldn't say everybody. I wouldn't say it's 100%.
Sure. I know. I mean, generally speaking.
Generally speaking, it's a good percentage. Yes, sir. That are not paying their bills. As we talked about when we did the bad debt write-off, we found out that 60 or 70% was the non-payers, people who didn't have insurance, and then those people who did have insurance but didn't meet their deductible just hadn't been paying their bills.
I'm assuming that we're not the only place that has to deal with this, so I'm wondering if we can't learn some lessons from other, counties that are maybe similarly situated to us. But is that a fruitful path to go down?
It is a fruitful path. So we can always learn from other agencies and organizations. We have reached out to other entities that are comparable to us, that are not a fire-based EMS, that are just a third-party provider like a county-based system. And we've talked to those guys and said, hey, and Allison Rogers has helped us out, especially after this last discussion with bad debt write-off. So we're trying to get, what does everybody else look like out there? Are we bad? Or what are they doing something different than what we're doing?
Right.
Are they collecting fees or collecting those, getting that money easier than what we are? And we found out that right now, as it stands, everybody's in either as worse shape as we are or worse.
Okay.
with their write-off. So we're comparable to everybody with a county-based EMS system, but we've got some plans in place. I mean, we're working with our billing department to try to steer people toward insurance. If they didn't know about it, how can they get signed up for Medicaid and Medicare?
Yeah.
Chandra Smiley, I had a conversation with her. She kind of let me in on what she's seeing as far as how she's trying to get people signed up for these services. Unfortunately, Medicaid and Medicare is wanting to drop, and they're really scrutinizing people from getting on their services that they want to make sure that you really need it. So, and all the insurances in the state of Florida are really scrutinizing everybody right now. So it's a little harder than what you think. It's not as easy as just signing up, saying, I got it. You got to meet certain needs, certain definitions, and you got to show your income levels. And people are not very forthcoming in showing how much they earn. So there are things that people had to jump through to get those services didn't necessarily aren't willing to do that. So, but we are working on some things to try to get it out there and try to get coverage and make sure that everybody who's using our system and not paying, that we try to steer them in the right direction.
I'm going to rephrase you just a little bit. The insurance companies are really scrutinizing people these days. I'll put it that way. A little twist on the phrase for me. Hey, one of the other things, and just because, I mean, you and I could talk for an hour because there's so much stuff. This is one of those, like, you can just say agreed or whatever, but what people may not realize is that all of these surplus unnecessary calls to EMS also create a problem, because if there's no ambulance available, you'll dispatch a fire crew, sometimes a fire truck, and now you got an engine showing up to somebody that's feeling chest pains, which is fine. Okay, we got to take care of people, but the cost to wear and tear and all of dispatching a fire engine to a paramedic call is even that much greater, but they have to treat it the same way, and then they're not available to fight a fire if one comes up. So just this kind of the cascade of things being out of balance is a big deal. Agreed, Eric?
I agree. It is a ripple effect. You're absolutely right. So you delay other things, other services, yeah.
Right. But the one thing I just wanted to ask you real quick before, God, we always run out of time with you. I know Commissioner Burgash has talked quite a bit about trying to enhance lifeguard protection out at Perdido Key next year. I think he's either bought or working on buying a couple of lifeguards towers, and I guess you're probably going to have to buy some ATVs and things like that. But I don't get the perception that there are just a big number of potential lifeguards waiting to come to work. Like, Dave Greenwood seems to always be scrambling every year to make sure to get enough to staff, and you got all the issues with age limited, time constraint limited, they're not in school, all of that kind of stuff. Are we going to be able to find lifeguards to hire for Perdido Key to actually staff? I love the idea of it, but are the people available?
Good question. So there's several things in the works right now. We will do a drive for, you know, Forest Lifeguards like we do every year, and we do barely get enough to cover what we're supposed to cover right now. Now, having said that, real quick, the Gulf Islands National Seashore, we're in discussion right now to whether they either want to renew the contract that we put lifeguards out there at Johnson Beach in those areas. If they don't want to renew the contract, then it's up to them totally to put lifeguards out there, then that will be my surplus of lifeguards. So I will have lifeguards if we don't go through with the Gulf Islands National Seashore and they don't want to put lifeguards out there. So I'll have manpower and bodies for that. And if they do come back to me in November, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and assuming they don't try to create their own lifeguard system in-house or something like that, which means they'd be drawn on that same population.
That is correct. But my understanding is if they don't do the program, they won't do the program. So they won't be taking our man pool. So
okay.
That is, you know, that. So if they drop it, they're going to drop it altogether because there's no requirement for them to have lifeguards out there. It's always been something they've always done just for enhanced safety. And I agree, enhanced safety needs to be out there. We always want enhanced safety. But we'll do a big push. And, you know, it's not going to be an absorbent amount of lifeguards out there at Perdita Key. If Gulf Island still wants the lifeguards and we still get enough for Pensacola Beach, it's not going to be like one in every access. It'll be a roving patrol. It'll be something that's going to be mobile. But it's not going to be as scaled up as what we see at Pensacola Beach, and unless we just get a surplus of people. But we will have something out there that's going to cover that area.
Okay. And also, and I know this is an uncharitable rephrase, but our solution is to shift the unsafe beaches of Perdido over to the unsafe beaches of Fort Pickens. I mean, you know, that's not a great answer, but I get the reality you're dealing with, and if Gulf Islands decides to, you know, that's not your call to make, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, like I said, we could talk to you forever. There's all kinds of stuff. We didn't get to like the core program having its success to get people off of opioids. I love that. And, you know, the recent big success with the Baptist move. Kudos to your staff and all the planning that went into that. And to Chief Torsell, who's done this before. I know he was key to that. But anyway, Eric Gilmore, he's the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County. As always, Eric, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.